This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Our Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the help that we have received. We thank you for how you have brought us even into this very place that we are. We say, be thou exalted in the name of Jesus. We pray that even as we are starting this new series, oh God, we receive help, we receive direction, we receive movement forward, we receive furtherance even in our journey. We say that we receive all there is that you are supplying even by this series. Father, we pray that every heart will be helped to be attentive. Every heart will be held to be retentive. Every heart will be helped to be able to understand the intricacies of how to bear fruit. That every heart will be helped to no longer be barren in the name of Jesus. That we are going to bring forth fruit, pleasurable unto your sight. Thank you, our Heavenly Father. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Okay, so we are going to go into our new series. The theme, maintaining the spirit-filled life, cultivating nature of love, and bearing fruit of the Spirit. This is the first lesson, and it's the introduction. All right, so let's quickly read our text, Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 7 to 21. Want to go? Partake us with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give the light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Galatians 5, 22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Then lastly, let's just read Philippians 1, 9-11. Want to go, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Can we shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. What we want to look at in today's lesson, we have three objectives. You know, that by the end of this lesson, this thing should have been fully established in our hearts. The first one is that we want to introduce what nature cultivation and fruit bearing are. The second thing is that we want to show the interconnect between nature formation and fruit bearing. And lastly, we want to establish the spirit-filled life as the avenue for nature cultivation and fruit bearing. If for anything, the two things that we can see that sticks out in these three objectives is nature cultivation and fruit bearing. The truth is that we cannot just say that you want to bear fruit without cultivating in nature. Now, that's why when you look at a mango tree, there's no miracle that can happen that will make a mango tree bring forth oranges. Why? Because the inherent nature of a mango, the only thing it can bring forth is what? Or have you seen it before? Except for grafting and all those other things that they do in science, naturally, a particular tree brings forth fruit according to its order. You bring forth fruit according to the order of your nature. So that's why we are looking at cultivating nature first, before what? Before fruit bearing. Forming nature before we can bear fruit. Can we say amen? So quickly, let's go to the introduction. You know, one thing that theme means, when you say maintaining, you know, maintaining means that you are bringing forth certain things to allow a particular condition or situation to continue. One of the things that many people lack is a maintenance culture. Now, that's why it's very easy for things to spoil and people can just move on. For example, you are staying in a house and then the door begins to show signs that if you don't fix me now, this thing can eventually get spoiled. But you see people just walking past the door as though nothing is happening. And you know that if you had given attention on time to fix that thing, you would have spent lesser than when that thing eventually spoils. When that thing now spoils, you might have to now buy another one, or the cost of repair might be much more. They call some things preventive maintenance. So here, they are saying that what they want us to begin to do after, you know, learning to follow the dealing and leading of the Spirit is that we must come to a place of maintaining the Spirit-filled life. Meaning that it is very possible to begin but not continue. One of the strongest issues we have as a people is the issue of continuation. We can start a thing. We can be pumped up. We can be high. We can be very excited about a particular theme, a particular subject, a particular encounter, but we have issues when it comes to continuation. So here, what we want to look at is how to maintain a Spirit-filled life. Why? If we don't maintain a Spirit-filled life, it will be impossible to reculture our nature. Because every one of us, we already have a formed nature. And the desire of God is to reculture that nature, is to alter that nature. But truth be told, without maintaining a Spirit-filled life, forget about cultivating nature. Our Lord Jesus gave the parable of a certain man who had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. At an appointed time, he came seeking fruit from the tree, but found none. In his displeasure, he commanded that the tree be cut down. This reveals the heart of our Heavenly Father, who is the husbandman, and we are his husbandry, expected to bring forth pleasant and enduring fruit. Let's look at Luke chapter 13, verse 6 to 9. It said, he spoke also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it, and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. So we can see that the desire of every creator, desire of every manufacturer is that they expect fruit. Now, there's nobody, you know, that you invest in a project and you are not expecting returns. Look at a farmer. When a farmer goes out to cultivate the land and begins to till the ground and begin to do all manner of things to get the ground ready, and then he plants seed in that ground and also begins to culture, you know, that seed until maturation. One thing that person is expecting is that it's expecting fruit. But, you know, it is very possible to arrive at a particular point and when they are expecting fruit, we are not bringing forth fruit. Why is that? You know, what is responsible for fruit formation are certain nutrients that the tree pulls from the ground. It's exposure to sunlight that fuels the process of photosynthesis, according to biology. And all these things come together to bring that tree into a state of fruition. Now, when you talk about fruit, don't forget, we are talking about everything that involves the possibility of bringing forth fruit. Now, for this particular tree, it had already grown, meaning that certain work had already been done on this particular thing. Amen. Now, when we look at this, and we also look at Matthew 13, begin to see how work has been done to ensure that a tree grows up. By what? Paying attention to the ground. We could see that we had about four different classes of ground. The one that was by the wayside. There was another one that was rocky. Another one had thorns, had thistles that choked the seed eventually. Now, when that thing sprouted up, it could not bear fruit. Why? Because there were other things surrounding it. And the last one, they called it the good ground. So now, in the process of bearing fruit, we can see that it started from getting a good ground. Now, after good ground, there's another thing called the good seed, which is the word. Now, after seed, you know, you cannot just plant something and then you leave it. Because the way the heart is, when they say it is good ground, it is not good because it does not have thorns and thistles that wants to grow there. It is good because there is a continuous work going on that ground to ensure that until fruiting happens, you don't relent. So there is a continuation that happens that ensures that fruit comes in 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So at this particular point, we see what this keeper was saying. He said that, let me dig around this tree. Meaning that at some point in the process of growth, the soil around that tree has hardened. So because of that, it was not able to draw nutrient again to push it to a point of bearing fruit. So the truth is that we can get stuck at any point of our journey. A man can look good today and everybody is saying that, oh, this man is following. But somewhere within, his ground is already getting hardened, such that he is no longer drawing nutrients to bear fruit. So he has gotten to that stage that he's supposed to be bringing forth fruit. But because there's no continuity in maintaining the spirit-filled life, hardness begins to come up around the tree. So that is why there is a continuity to this thing. At every point, you know, there is no safety until you begin to bear fruit. That is why we must learn how to maintain a spirit-filled life. If we don't, we can be a great tree, very tall. Everybody's looking at you that this person is a stature. But when the master is hungry and say that I want to get fruit, he comes and he will not see anything on it. When I was reading that verse, when Jesus told that fig tree that no man shall eat of thee again, that place said, and Jesus answered. Meaning that the state of that fig tree was talking to Jesus. That Jesus had to give an answer to that fig tree. Why? Because Jesus is not wicked. It's not as though he was just hungry because he's not finding fig tree there. He now caused the fig tree. No. It's that with the investment of heaven on that fig tree, Jesus is not supposed to get there and not find, even if it is one. There was an excuse there. He said, for it was not the season of the figs. Now, you will say that, if it's not the season of figs, then why is Jesus expecting fruit on it? Jesus knew the investment done on that tree. How many of you have seen that certain trees, it's not their season, but you'll just see like one or two on them. That even when it's not the season of the fig, Jesus getting there, he ought to see, because they said he was hungry. May we not be that so that when our Lord is hungry and comes to you, we only have leaves to show. That thing was very green, but without any fruit on it. Jesus gave us an example in his own life. When Mary said, go and meet him, what did he tell them? He said, my time has not come. But did he bring up fruit or not? So, we can hide behind excuses and say it is not time for the fig trees. All our excuses falls under that category. You can have a strong excuse and say, well, it's because of how I grew up. It's because of how this person treated me. It's because of how that person treated me. And a day will come, the master will be hungry for fruit. And he will come and say, let me find something. And he can only see leaves there. May that not be our portion in Jesus' name. At new birth, we were all planted in the Lord's vineyard, but much more planted as his vineyard within our soul. It is like our Heavenly Father to seek and expect fruit from everyone who is planted in his vineyard. He gives the increase to his vine by sending the rain of his word and spirit for nourishment and growth until it can reproduce fruit of itself. Isaiah 32 verse 15, until the spirit is poured out from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. The next subheading, by their fruit we shall know them. So it's established that the Lord is desiring fruit of every one of us. But there is a process to fruit bearing. There's something we must maintain consistently to be able to bear fruit. The concept of fruit bearing is a spiritual reality that unfolds within the soul. It is the evidence of how much the soul is being conformed to the nature resident in the regenerated spirit. Fruits are significant indicators of the soul's growth, testifying to the stages of transformation and the maturity attained in the believer's spiritual journey. Acts chapter 14, verse 17. So nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Psalm 1 speaks about, you know, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, and he said that he is like a tree planted by what? The rivers of water. You say, whose leaves does not wither? And he brings forth fruit in his season, right? So fruitfulness marks the completion of a spiritual cycle where life has not only been sown and nurtured, but has also matured and expressed itself visibly. The fruit of the Spirit are born at the end of a God-ordained process or season. Before these fruits manifest within a believer, the Lord subjects the heart to seasons of leadings and dealings, purging and transformation. These processes are designed to break up the fallow ground of the heart, make it tender and receptive, until the life of the Spirit buds, blossoms, and brings forth fruit in due season. Matthew 13, 21. Say, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. So we can see from here that when the Lord wants to begin to treat the ground of a man, my ground is my heart. God can't do anything without that ground, the ground of a man's heart. Nothing can be planted. First of all, when you become born again or at new birth, we are planted in the vineyard of the Lord. That means I'll say much more. Our souls becomes the vineyard of the Lord. So meaning that what is expected to bring forth fruit is the soul. The spirit man has been regenerated, but the soul is what God is expecting to bring forth fruit. Now, based on what has happened to every man, look at what happened in Genesis. When God came, after man had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, you know, God began to place certain limitations on the ground, meaning that it will not yield forth its increase the way it's supposed to yield forth. Right or wrong? Showing you that when the Lord now needs to come again, when after new birth, and wants to make the soul bear fruit, there's something that he will begin to do. The soul has, by reason of the curse of this world, gained certain natures that are anti the seed of God. Now, when you see rock, there's nothing God can do by planting his seed in a rocky ground. That seed will not survive. How many of you know that there are certain trees that they don't do well in Nigeria because of the environment of Nigeria? All my life, I just only used to read of pomegranate in the Bible. I've never seen it or tasted it. But another place, that thing looks like mango to them, because of the climate of the place. So if your climate, if the climate of your heart does not support the seed of God, see, that seed is powerful. But your heart is much more powerful than that seed. That even when they plant it, it can kill it.
So now, God has something that he wants to do. He has a seed he wants to plant. But because of the climate of the soul, he's limited. So what they first of all need to do is to send forth agents that can reculture that land. That is where nature formation begins. They want to reculture our land. Because we have stones, we have rocks inside our souls. We have thorns and thistles inside our souls. That does not support the growth of the seed of the word of God. So forget it. Let that minister be ministering morning to night. As long as your heart nature is intact, nothing can happen. Nothing can happen. Let that man be anointed to his teeth. If they don't tamper with our heart configuration, nothing can grow there. So the first thing that they do is that they begin to roll out a plan that can begin to address the stones in the soul. That can begin to address thorns and thistles in the soul. Boy, they want to make that ground. They call it a good ground. So, my brothers and sisters, there are many things that must be done to this our heart, though. If we are going to support the growth of the word of God, the prosperity of the word of God, of that seed within us, it is a joint work. You know, I particularly like Genesis 2:5. Say, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. Say, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Verse 6 said that water came from the earth and watered the whole ground, right? But the writer of Genesis was tying growth to something. He was tying growth to the supply of rain and a man that can till the ground. Really, God can create, yes, and cause all these things to grow. But really, the original order of things is that for growth to happen and for fruitfulness to happen, there must be rain and there must be a man to till the ground. So if God gives the rain and there is no man to till the ground, growth will still not happen. So it is a joint work, a collaborative work for growth and fruitfulness. So it's not something we dump at the feet of God and say, God, make me fruitful. God said, I will bring a supply, but there must be a response as well. So he tied it to rain and the presence of a man to till the ground. Quickly, what is nature? Nature is the basic inherent traits, characteristics, inward formation, and constitution of an entity. This distinguishes and uniquely places every creature in their rightful order and aligns with the intentions of the Creator. Hence, nature is the premise upon which fruit is born. Every life creature has its unique nature in itself, separating one life form from another. Trees have their nature. Aquatic life forms have their nature. Animals have varying classes of nature. Man has his nature. And the angels have their nature. Hence, the expectation of God the Father towards the kind of fruit these different entities bear differs. How do we know angels have their nature? They said that Jesus, the Word, said he'd not take upon himself the nature of angels. But he took upon what? The nature of a man. See, we are very blessed. Angels in nature, naturally in this order, are higher than man. Because man was made a little lower than angels. But when the Word wanted to put on a nature, he did not go for the nature of an angel. It's the nature of a man that he put on. Animals, they have their nature. What makes a dog is the nature of the dog. What makes a lion is the nature of that lion. We have people that are bringing lions from the wild, you know, from their childhood and raising them as pets. Well, in the beginning, all animals, there was no wild or unwild animal, right? But fall affected all these animals in different ways. The way sin is, no sin is intelligent. The way sin manifests in a fox is different from the way it manifests in a serpent. Because of the constitution of the law that God put in them. So what sin does is that it maneuvers around your law and gives an expression. That is why the expression of sin in that cherub is higher than what you can see in a man. Because it is a stronger law that God put there. So sin does not stand by itself. It uses the law that God has placed inside that thing and maneuvers around it to corrupt it. That is why certain animals were considered clean and some were considered unclean. Because of the way sin wound itself around some. So a sheep had a lower expression of sin than a tiger. A goat, as stubborn as a goat is, God can say accept a goat as an offering. As a sin offering. They can still kill a goat. A scapegoat. But God will never say offer me a lion. Or offer me a fox. Or a chimpanzee. Why? Because sin wound itself around their laws differently. And some gave more expression to sin. That's why we cannot play with sin. The more of God's law that you are receiving, that is why when Satan was lusting, he was lusting after Peter. People he lust after are people that have higher measures of the laws of God within them. Because he knows that I can find better expression with this guy. That is why till the end of food bearing, you must never relent. Because there are men that have walked to a particular junction because they stopped. Sin had a field day on them. It can wound itself around the law that God has placed within you. That is why maintaining a spirit-filled life, the spirit-filled life, is very important. So that we don't arrive at certain junctions, because sin is not going to come tomorrow and tell you to stop coming to church. He might not even say that. A man can still be doing physical things that when you look at, you can still see green leaves. You can still see that, oh, this tree is standing. But at some point, its process of continuity has been stopped. And that is one thing that a man has that other creatures don't have. An advantage that man has, you know, a man, the way God designed a man can expand and a man can contrast. Now look at the womb of a woman. That womb can grow so big to accommodate a child. After that, the womb will go back again. That is how the soul is. They call the soul a belly. The soul can grow big. The soul can come low. You know, when you see a man can be walking as a man. But when Jesus looks at him, he calls him a fox. He said, go tell that fox. Meaning that he was a man. But when they x-ray his inward nature, he is a fox. He was not abusing him or just telling him his state. So a man can be degraded. That is how a man is. But this same man can be made better than the angels. There's a capacity that God placed within the soul to expand. And to contract. Look at Nebuchadnezzar. When they took out his heart and gave him the heart of an animal, he became an animal. He went into the forest. He was eating grass. His digestive system accommodated grass. Normally, a man's digestive system cannot accommodate grass. But because his heart was changed, his body aligned. So when your heart changes, your body will align. Why does God want nature? God is a being of nature and he created man solely to bear his image and likeness. Man was created to share in and partake of the divine nature. For God desires that his nature be visibly expressed through man. It is upon this foundation that the mandate for fruitfulness was established. Genesis 1, 26 to 28, be fruitful and multiply. John 15, verse 8. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The inward frame and makeup of a man influence the kind of fruit he will bring forth. Therefore, God is far more interested in forming his nature within us than in subjecting men to stringent rules and regulations. The Lord who looks to the heart of a man only approves of man by the nature he carries within his soul. The Lord trusts the nature within a believer over his piety, actions, show of humility, or religion. The first labor to be exerted upon a soul is to right all the wrongs within him. And this is achieved through the revelation of God's righteous standard by which grace for obedience is supplied. Romans 12, 1 to 2 and 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. The fruit born from the pleasurable nature gives pleasure to God as a result of walking in the Spirit. The fact that certain laws are much more strict in certain advanced nations
When you see a man that normally and naturally breaks laws in Nigeria, let's say traffic laws, go to some advanced countries. You know, over there, nobody will pursue you. They will just send the bill to you. And because that rule is very strong, many people adhere to it because they don't want trouble. But the lawlessness in that man has not been dealt with. I've seen certain white men that came down to Nigeria. And when they saw the way Nigerians are, they now even became much more lawless. So we could just see that what was enabling them to keep laws over there is just because there were certain strict rules and regulations. Take away that thing. Take away stringent rules around it. You will see that man's lawlessness will surface. And you know, the wisdom of sin can morph. It can come to a place that, oh, okay, this is what you guys want, and it becomes very gentle. And it goes to another place. But we have not really dealt with the law that is responsible for lawlessness. There was a particular conflict that HR was settling. And when I heard the HR talking, it was looking as though she was saying scriptures of how you should settle conflict, you should not allow this thing to... You know, all those things, they learn it by the book, but it has not affected nature. So they even know the tone to use when talking to somebody. That there's a particular tone you will use, that the person might get aggravated. They teach courtesy. They teach all those things. But their nature has not been altered. Expose that same person saying that thing. Situation just come around. You will see that person saying that thing, we forget everything she has been saying. And react according to a default nature within. Sin is default to every man naturally. So no matter the packaging, no matter how well you paint it and make it look fine, that thing is still there. So God must begin to bring forth dealings and leadings to ensure that certain things are broken. See, if they leave every man to themselves, no man can escape the jaws of sin and death. They leave you one-on-one with sin. So you are fighting. You cannot escape the intelligence of sin. In fact, you will be fighting sin. You will give sin smackdown. You will give him KO, knockout. You will sit down here and they will count 1, 2, 3. And they will declare you winner. That you have won sin. But the referee is an agent of sin. They are doing a make-believe to ensure that you never get free from the bounds of sin. That even your rejoicing is sin. See, if we know that sin is not man's mate, the intelligence of sin descended from the third heaven, you know what we are fighting. We are not fighting do's and don'ts. We are fighting a law that can wrap itself around anything and take the form of that thing. That's how sin is. It will wrap itself and just take your form. So you can say, okay, I want to do this. Okay, he will enter that place with you. Philippians talking about they were giving themselves to willful worship. They were denying themselves food, denying themselves many things. And they were saying that this thing is not what will make you free. Because even in your fasting, sin will follow you there. Sin will fast with you and break with you. So really what God wants to do is not just to put on you do's and don'ts. He wants to address natures within you. And know when nature is addressed, what happens is that no matter the pressure put on you, what you respond with is the default nature inside. Certain things are not yet nature to us. Certain things that we are observing the environment and trying to fit into it. So that you not say that temiti kwaju. But you get to a point in your journey that heaven will begin to lead you, begin to deal with you such that things within you are being broken. Natures within you are being altered. One of the most difficult things to do in any man is to alter his nature. A man can be standing on the pulpit like this, preaching, and everybody is falling under the anointing, but his nature is still intact. Holy Ghost can walk with our fallen nature. Holy Ghost can anoint a man, but he is not able to deal with his nature. A man can sing and everybody knows the presence of God is here. But when they x-ray that nature is still falling. He has not recultivated that nature. Apostle Peter called some people wolves in sheep clothing. Mean that you can wear a clothing of a nature, but you are not yet the nature. So you are wearing the clothing of a sheep, but you are still a wolf within.
So you can have a form of meekness and lowliness. You understand the grammar of bowing down. You know what to say and how not to say things. You know what to do and what not to do. You know how to get into the hearts of men and women. But when they open that garment, it's still a wolf that is still there. So you can successfully wear a garment, but you have not become that garment. That's a wolf in sheep clothing. So a wolf can look for sheep clothing and wear. Now, talk about fruiting. If that thing wants to give birth, what will it give birth to? Are you going to say, because it's wearing a sheep clothes, it will not give birth to a sheep? So its fruit will be perpetually wolfish in nature. So what God wants to address is that he wants to change nature within us. And really, nature will never change if a people don't learn how to maintain spirit-filled life. And one of the reasons for this lesson is to ensure that everyone here understands how to maintain a spirit-filled life. No man will stand before Jesus and said, I didn't know how to change this nature. No man will stand before Jesus and give an account of everything done in the body and say that there was no provision for me to bring forth fruit according to righteousness. That place says, make the tree good and the fruit will be good. If you want a good fruit, first of all, your focus is on the tree. Make that tree good. Once that tree can be good, the fruit will be good. Our profiting by following dealings and leading of the Spirit is such that fruit to be good. So there is a continuous work of breaking that must happen. That place says, break up the fallow ground. There must be a continuity in breaking our hard ground. No day must pass and Holy Ghost has not broken something within you. You must not live 24 hours of a day and Holy Ghost has not changed something within you. He has not led you against your former nature, your former formation. A day must not pass and you have not received instruction that my son, don't say this, don't go here, don't do this, respond like this. And we cannot have that if we are not maintaining a spirit-filled life. It's not possible. So what they want to primarily do to us is that they want to change our nature. They want to make our grounds good. They want to make our heart conducive for the seed of the word. No, it is a good ground that can house the seed of the word. That thing will grow and bring forth fruit in 30, 60, and 100 fold. How many of you know that seed by the wayside, it is in that heart that bird was dwelling. That bird that came to pick that thing had an habitation in that heart. That bird is sitting somewhere, always watching when the sower is coming to sow. Drop your own. After you have gone, I'm coming to pick it. Many times we can hear messages for years and there's no significant change. You are under intense weight of the Spirit when you are in the meeting. But when you step out there as though nothing has happened to you. When it comes to obeying instructions of the Lord, we are very weak in them. A minister can be laboring morning and night, giving himself to ensure that they can deliver the message. And then after they have dropped the word and then they move, there's a bird somewhere saying, I'm coming to pick it. There's a distraction somewhere flying to come and pick that thing away. And we go out there and it looks as though nothing has happened. And many of us, we glory in that thing, say, that's just my person. May we never endorse what the Lord wants to take away. May we never agree with the wrong formation of evil spirit within us. May we never look at a nature that God is angry at and say that is who I am. Things that God wants to take away, we are endorsing and say, that's just my person. Some people, in fighting certain habits, they have come to that junction of their life and they are saying, well, I think this is just meant to be. It's not meant to be, my brother. There's a working that can happen by maintaining a spirit-filled life that you will see things begin to drop off you. So this lesson is a call to look into the supply God is giving and our commensurate responses. You know, enough of, you know, after the word has been dispensed, after 6 weeks of teaching, 7 weeks of teaching, and then there is no significant change in nature. Because it's true, we might not know how to change nature. But the person that changes that nature cannot also change it alone without our responses. So there must be what he supplies and what we do with the supply. That's why it's possible to receive the grace of God in vain. So there is grace given, but then it cannot do what it's meant to do. Walking in the Spirit for fruit bearing.
The fall of Adam in the garden introduced the fallen nature into man. By walking in accordance to the course of this world and under the influence of the prince of the power of the air, man prospered in the fallen nature and brought forth fruit consistent with the fallen nature. Genesis 3:6, Ephesians 2:2-3. They were by nature the children of wrath, but now he had quickened us. At new birth, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within the spirit of the believer, to walk in his soul, introducing him into the life in the spirit for the sole purpose of rewriting his nature and enabling him to bear the fruits of the spirit, the fruit of the spirit. Galatians 5:16. Just as the natural plant engages the provision of sunlight for photosynthesis, one thing that the root of a tree does that it strives to absorb nutrients from the soil is a warfare. So when you see a tree growing, it's fighting. A tree growth is fight. Why? Because there are other things in that soil that can also compete for that thing. So you must fight to lay hold on substances that will, you know, help you to grow. Compete for space to bear fruit. Believers must be co-laborers with the husbandman for folds. That's 36 and 100 of fruit yielding to bear the fruit of the Spirit. One must engage in a consistent walk in the Spirit. The believer who lives in the Spirit must also learn to walk in the Spirit with the sole aim of nature alteration and cultivation in order to bear fruit in his soul. This work and labor in the Spirit are accomplished through a fervent and vibrant communal life with the Holy Spirit, which becomes the breeding ground for the cultivation of God-approved nature and the bearing of spiritual fruit. Through the engagement of the faith in the Lord Jesus, love towards the saints, and hope which is laid up in heaven, the believer is aided to start loving spiritual things. And the love of spiritual things triggers a walk in the Spirit, which is the bedrock for a fervent communal life, where God's approved nature is wrought within the soul. Let us quickly read Colossians 1:4-5. So since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof he heard before in the word of truth. Verse 6. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. They call that love in the Spirit, love for spiritual things. The fruit of the Spirit to be born by a believer who engages in the work in the Spirit is love in diverse expressions as joy, peace, goodness, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. All these are born from the nature of love. You know, God helping us through this series, we're going to be looking at all this fruit of the Spirit, you know, but much more especially how we can cultivate the nature of love. One way that God is defined in Scripture, when you say God, God is a name. Once you define that name, you cannot really hack into the nature of that person. So scriptures like God is love makes us to see the nature of that being. God is light. God is holy. All these things are definitions that makes us to identify the nature resident in him. So when they say man is flesh, say he has become flesh. Man is as a flower of the field. Or man is as grass. And all these things, they are definitions of nature that shows that man has degraded from the original thing that God put inside him. And also, when God wants to now begin to restore us back into the nature of love, one of the things that is very paramount, love for spiritual things. So, it's very possible for a man to have love for many things. In fact, I want us to open to that place that talked about the characteristics of the end time, that men shall be lovers of themselves. None of those things, they spoke of loving spiritual things. None of it. So this know also that in the last days, perilous time shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, their nature. Men shall be what? Let's echo it, covetous. Say boasters. Proud. Blasphemous. Disobedient to parents. Say unthankful. You know, you know that unthankfulness is a nature. The fact that you don't see anything good God has done for you to give thanks for is a nature. That is going to happen in the perilous times. Now, does that mean that things that are unfavorably will not happen to you? Things will still happen.
But we must cultivate a nature of thanksgiving. Jesus said that in this world you shall have tribulations. Say, but what? Be of long face. Be angry. Complain. Murmur. Be bitter. You see what? This thing, you must be intentional about it. About being thankful. If you are not intentional, you will not be thankful. Because why? The world is naturally designed to keep on showing you things that are not working. So you must intentionally say that I want a nature of thanksgiving. That in the midst of pressure from work, I'm giving God thanks. In the midst of everything I'm going through, I'm giving God thanks. A fruit of the Spirit that they call joy. You will never arrive at that fruit of the Spirit if you have not cultivated a nature of thankfulness. So we can see the correlation between nature and fruit. So there is a line that links these things together. That if you continue like this, there are a couple of people who say boasters.
There was something that was in school then when you're praying and you say that we give God the glory. Some people used to say that we give God the glory is different from it is God that did this one. They call it Olorun lo se yi. We give God the glory means that, well, we did it, but at least God helped us. When you say Olorun lo se, it means that this one, I have no impute in it. Although you worked. But you have a sense that really, Paul can plant. Apollos can water. But remove the increase that God gives, there's nothing done. It's a sense. It's an understanding that Paul can plant, Apollos can water. But the increase comes when God gives it. So without that increase, forget everything everybody has done. So that boaster, the 1 Corinthians 13 called it vaunted not itself. When God wanted to deal with vaunting, he told Gideon, he said that you have 30,000 men. He reduced them to 300. So that you will not vaunt yourself and say that we delivered ourselves. The army they were fighting was massive, but God kept reducing their number because he wanted to deal with vaunting. Now, just to bring it into our own circle of understanding, there are certain things that you have a way to deal with it. You know what to do to attend to some matters. But when God now wants to bring his own work to now change your nature, he will now begin to tell you to let go of those things that you know how to do. What he's dealing with is that he wants to deal with the nature of vaunting, the nature of being a boaster. To be a boaster does not mean that I come here and begin to count things that I've done. It's something settled in my soul that when I just see that thing, I just smile. You are boasting to heaven. There's a satisfaction I derive from certain things. When you look at your work, the way it's going, you are just okay inside. There's nothing inside you that directs that thing back to God. My brother, you cannot fake it. Nobody is seeing it, but you cannot fake it. You will know when your heart is attached to a thing. So when we're talking about this thing, we're not talking about what you are doing on the external. Nobody might see anything you are doing on the external that is bad. But when God just looks into the heart, he sees a vaunting heart. He sees a proud heart. He sees a boaster. He might not boast to men, but you are boasting to God. What fruit bearing by nature is not. Fruit bearing in this context is not merely about physical multiplication, but more importantly about generating spiritual conversations, expressions, and lifestyle that are acceptable and approved by God. Philippians 1:11. While supernatural manifestation of fruitfulness in the natural realm may include anointing, wealth, influence, material possession, and other outward expressions, the presence or absence of this element does not determine whether a believer truly bears the fruits of the Spirit. We can see Matthew 7, they say, we do this in your name, we do that in your name. But he said, I don't know you. So really, nature formation can only be on the premise of knowing him. Without knowing him, natures cannot be altered. There's a him to know. Jesus said, I don't know you, you workers of iniquity. Meaning that all the while they were doing those things in the name of the Lord Jesus, they were maintaining fellowship with iniquity. They were not working out righteousness. They were working out iniquity. Meaning that they were doing things in the name of Jesus. When it came to their nature formation, they kept it intact. They didn't yield ground to the Lord. Must be people that yield ground to the Lord. You know, when they say breaking our fallow grounds, what they are saying is that the Lord is taking your space. He's breaking into your person. No, breaking fallow ground. Sometimes you don't know that the ground is shouting. Fallow ground is like a hard ground. And you bring in instruments to, you are turning the ground inside out. The one that is up, you bring it down. That ground that has maintained the formation, a set formation, set mindset. Somebody just comes and just turn what is down, brings it up. What is in the middle, brings it, and just change everything. And then, I don't understand again. But really, that is where fruitfulness can come from. When they scatter your arrangements. Why? Because they want to change in nature. So, nature formation is very serious. So, see, we can spend 50 years in church, but nature has not been changed. A man can be a good tither, a good prayer warrior, a good worship leader, decked with gifts of the Spirit, but nature, they can't touch it. So really, what they want to do, they want to touch our nature. And when they are touching nature, rest assured that we won't be smiling. The fruit of the Spirit are not measured by a believer's knowledge or by the abundance of supernatural experiences and exploits, nor even by the multitude of leading and dealings of the Spirit, but are revealed in character, daily responses, and consistent godly living. You know, that's why maintaining the Spirit feel like is a daily thing. You know? Every day, there must be transaction between you and the Holy Ghost. He's giving, you are receiving, you are supplying. That's why the system of this world is so much arranged to cut out that supply. You come to church on Sunday, you are fine. But Monday to Friday, the truckload of your work is so intense that you don't have transactions with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is just there watching. And until that thing is happening, nature cannot be touched. It can never be touched. That's why the cause of this is designed to frustrate the change of nature. Satan is watching like that bird, always wanting to keep his territory. But you know, the Lord is, by his mercy, is bringing reinforcement of help to us so that we can make quality decisions to maintain a Spirit-filled life. You know, in concluding, believers remain barren and unfruitful in the things of the Spirit due to an impoverished communal life. Though they may be full of religious activities, the absence of a consistent and continual work in the Spirit, founded on intimate fellowship, renders them helpless against the course of this world and leads to fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Ephesians 5:11. Actively following the leading and dealings of the Spirit fosters a deep awareness of his indwelling presence within the believer for fellowship. This awareness is necessary for the cycle of nature formation that leads to fruit bearing. So basically, we've been able to establish, you know, the connection between nature formation and fruit bearing, right? And to establish that the Spirit-filled life is an avenue for nature cultivation and fruit bearing. I just want us to look within and see that our heart is making resolves, praying for grace, praying for mercy, praying for help. You know, that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, even into Sunday, there's a transaction with the Holy Ghost going on. Do you know it's possible? It's possible. Just the way you are breathing air, you can breathe in the Holy Ghost. Every day, when you've had strong fellowship with the Holy Ghost and it becomes difficult to want to quickly take offense at something, you just want to guard your fellowship. You just want to guard that moment jealously, right? Imagine that consistently for the next 365 days. Imagine what would have been done inside of you. So that day when you wake up, the first thing, you rush to work. So pressured by work here and there, you are doing everything. And when you come back, you are so tired. Eat. And then you sleep. What they are depriving you of is nature change and fruit bearing. But after 5 years, you still see certain things that are supposed to have been dealt with. Now I see God helping us through this lesson, that we're going to look into the details of how nature is being formed and how fruit will be born within us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. How many people were blessed by that session? Thank you so much, Pastor Priest. That was intense labor. This theme, maintaining the Spirit-filled life, cultivating nature of love, and bearing fruit of the Spirit. If you check the theme very well, you see that it's actually a circle. No, it is threefold cord that cannot be easily broken. You know, that is when we maintain a spirit-filled life, what will happen to us is that it will be possible to cultivate the nature of love. And what will come out, the fruit that will come out from the cultivating of the nature of love, will actually be what? Fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 says that, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So you see that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And other things like joy, peace, they are expressions of that love. So which means that fruit are actually born out of nature. For instance, a tree cannot bear the fruit of a human nose. It's not in its nature. Imagine a tree that is growing human nose, human hand. What will happen? We'll run. We'll say this one is not what? It's not normal. So that is why you see that as a believer, God has an expectation. And if we don't desire to meet that expectation by staying consistently filled with the Spirit, which is as a result of, you know, being in touch with the Holy Ghost. You know, when you look at the mirror, what you see is yourself. Your outward man. That's what you see in the mirror. But there is a person, a nature, that our soul need to consistently what? Keep looking at. Which should be the Holy Ghost. So staying in communion is that we keep looking at the person of the Holy Ghost. Because the more we look at him, the more our old nature, old man can be altered. The concept of fruit bearing is a spiritual reality that unfolds within the soul. So meaning this particular theme is actually focusing on the soul. Because it is the evidence of how much the soul is being conformed to the nature resident in the regenerated spirit. So at new birth, something happened to our spirit. We're given a new spirit. And that new spirit is a new man. That spirit has the nature of Christ. And that spirit, you know, is so sweet that Holy Ghost could move in. To start what? Staying in that spirit. Because of the nature that the spirit has. So Holy Ghost is in our spirit because of the nature that our spirit has. But you see, the soul, which is called the inward man. No, the spirit is the inner man. The soul that is called the inward man still retains the nature of the old man. That to take constant communion with the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Spirit, for the soul to be altered from the old man. That's why, you know, there's a scripture that says that put off the old man. It's the soul that need to what? Put off the old man. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 24. And that ye put on what? The new man, which after God is created in righteousness and through holiness. So if we are not putting off the old man, there is no way we can put on the new man. And staying in communion with the Holy Ghost, in a spirit-filled life, what it does is that it will alter the whole nature that is in the soul. The soul needs to behave like the regenerated spirit through a constant spirit-filled life, cultivating nature of love and bearing fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Fruits are the evidence of the nature a man possesses. They bear witness to whatever forms and inwardly constitute a man. That's why we need to join forces with God to prepare our heart for cultivation and what? And for fruit bearing. Because God cannot do it alone. No matter how powerful the seed is, if the ground is not cooperating, it can't yield. That is why no matter how anointed, how beautiful the seed is, if you plant it on a sandy soil, without working on the soil to maybe you put, you know, some dung and some manure, some nourishment, and nothing will happen. No matter how powerful that what? That seed is. I have a doctor friend, you know, that grew, you know, foreign apple in Nigeria. And I asked him, I said, how did you do it? Said, he put the seed inside, you know, a cup and all that, put necessary manure, treated everything, you know, point. And I said, but no, he said, he put it inside fridge. Meaning he had to create what? An atmosphere that will enable it to grow. That he had to grow it under that this thing for like 2 weeks. They need to get AC so that it can what? Continue growing. I said, wow. And it's assumed that in Nigeria, it cannot grow. So what was lacking was the right atmosphere. So meaning, no matter how God has a good intention to ensure that the nature in our spirit, you know, becomes that which is in our soul, if we are not joining forces with him, there is little God can do. It will have piped. It will have done all the necessary things, but we are the one not dancing to his tune. May we not be such folks in the name of Jesus. Pastor Prince also said that it's a collaborative work because God supply and I must what? Respond. So our response is needed in this season. And there is no way we can come into what is called, you know, cultivating the nature of love and bearing of fruit of the Spirit without maintaining spirit-filled life. So it's a chain reaction. Say, maintaining spirit-filled life will help in cultivating the nature of love. Then will help with bearing of fruit of the Spirit. Then there will be a top up to stay in what? In communion with the Holy Ghost. You know, for instance, babies, they have a measure of life expression in the natural. You know, you can carry a baby. Everyone wants to carry babies. You know, you play with them. But have you noticed after 30 minutes, you are looking for the mother or the father or the caregiver? Because, you know, you can't hold conversation. You are limited. That's why it's not good to maintain the old nature. So we come for meetings, Holy Ghost quickly, you know, carry us, but we are babies. But if we are not conscious and ready to join forces with the Lord for the what? For the nature formation of that which is in the Spirit, what will happen is that we'll just come, water will come another, but we are waterproof. Why? Because we are not continuing. So you see that the emphasis of the theme is actually maintaining the what? The spirit-filled life. So meaning even after church, there is a fellowship we have to stay in. There is a communion we have to stay in. And it takes consciousness. You know, you can't be absent-minded and you stroll to the throne. It's another throne you will get to. So Pastor Prince really labored on that we have to join forces with heaven. Hallelujah. Another thing under nature, say nature can be cultivated. It can be nurtured and formed for fruit bearing. So when you see, you know, certain things that you display, just know that your nature still needs to be what? Tampered with. Say depression. It has its span from, you know, unthankfulness as a nature. Yes. It has its what? From what? Unthankfulness as a nature. That is why you, especially, you know, those outside this country or outside this continent, when you ask them, what is made to come into depression? Say depression. You walk into depression. It's a walk. Hallelujah. It's a condescending. You agree to come there. If your nature of love, you can see the goodness of God all around you. Let everything be working against you. You still have a reason to thank God. And see, that thing alone will bear a fruit. You have joy. And when you have joy, what happens is that hope is in your pouch. So we'll see that cultivating of nature is very important. Many of us, for instance, if we read that same Galatians chapter 5, I've got to consider the different works of the flesh that are made manifest. If we just want to cut the tentacles of those things here and there, you'll be tired. And that's why you see that some people come into a conclusion that, you see, we can't be perfect. We can only try. It's because they've forgotten that the most important thing is to go for nature. When you go for nature, because the scripture says in the book of Luke that a good tree will bring forth what? Good fruit. It can't help it but bring forth what? Good fruit. And an evil tree also cannot help it but bring forth what? So you see, the different works of the flesh, the different evil natures that you see. Kenneth Hagin said something, you know, in one of his books, Love the Way to Victory. He said that before he got born again, you see, he had malice, pro-max, that same Baba, that we appreciate today. He used malice to the point that if a family member offend him, he will not greet the person again. If they end up, maybe family function, they're in the same room, it will ignore the person and assume that the person is no longer existing. That was the malice pro max. But when God began to touch his nature, he became a man that could not help but always in love with people. So God can what? Touch our nature. That is why, you know, this theme is also to show us, to exalt the place of what God is set to do in our lives in this season. That what God wants to do, he doesn't just want to treat works of the flesh that are made manifest. God doesn't just want to do a work that you are not sure of. He wants to change nature. Rounding off, the believer, talking about walking in spirit for bearing fruit of the spirit, said the believer who lives in the spirit must also learn to walk in the spirit. Say, live in the spirit. That Galatians chapter 5 verse 16, it says, this I say, then walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 25. Say, if we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. At new birth, something happened to our spirit. Our spirit began to live in the spirit. Hope you know. But you see, what needs to walk in the spirit is your soul. So Apostle Paul was telling the Galatian church, if you live in the spirit, that is your spirit, then also your soul should what? Walk in the spirit. So that your soul can attain the nature that your spirit has. Then lastly, the fruit of the spirit to be born by a believer who engages in the walk in the spirit is love in diverse expressions. Say, God is love. So because God is love, according to the book of 1 John chapter 4, you know, verse 8 and verse 16, says, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And we have known and believed the love that God hath towards us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. You know, we have Holy Ghost in us. So when we walk in the spirit, it means we are in constant communion, being filled with the spirit. So what happens is that a nature of love will be cultivated. Then what happens is that we can bear the fruit of love. And that's why the scripture says also in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, that the long suffering of God, because God is love as a nature, he has long suffering. The long suffering of God towards us. So God is not struggling to be patient. The scripture says in the book of Jonah that he came to this end, that God is what? Is of tender mercies. He said he came to the end of the Lord, that he is of what? Tender mercies and what? Loving kindness. So we'll see that it is expedient for us to join forces with heaven in this season. You know, being filled with the Spirit leads to cultivating nature of love and bearing fruit of the Spirit. We need the altar of communion for our wrong nature to be altered. How many people are ready to join forces with God in this season? You know, that the nature of love will be well cultivated in our souls, and so that we can bear fruit, you know, that is well pleasing to God. Can we begin to respond to the Lord?
Lord, we thank you because we know these words are not in vain. We thank you because we know that you are our help, even in this season. We honor you, Father. We align ourselves in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. This lesson, I believe that God has a lot in store for me and you. Now, the issue of fruit bearing and nature formation, you know, while one of the thoughts that was very clear is that whether you and I know it or not, we're actually bearing a fruit. Whether we know it or not, there's actually a nature that is taking place. Let's see that Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, 11 says, when they had separated the ground and called it earth, he says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit what? Yielding what? Fruit after what? Its kind. Whose seed is in itself and upon the earth, and it was so. Now, the question you will ask when you read this is, when was this seed planted? Because the instruction to the earth was what? Bring forth. The same instruction, that's in Genesis 1, where it said, let us make man. Genesis 1, 28. And instruction to man again was, God bless them. And he says what? Be what? Fruitful. Now, the very instruction a man got at the beginning, apart from being blessed of God, the instruction he got was to be fruitful. Now, you see this instruction, it was easy for Adam and Eve to do. Why? Because there was no seed. Say seed. You see, the issue of seed, the person that custodes seed is either Satan or God. The person that releases seed, the issue of seed was not the issue. The issue of seed was not the issue. In Genesis 1, before the fall, it would have been very easy for man to, when they say be fruitful, the only thing man can bring forth as a living soul was to bring forth things that pertain to the issue of image and likeness. Things that pertain to the issue of nature. But you see, the introduction of that fruit, no, they didn't call it fruits. You see, even though anger, malice is from one fruit, he said, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of what? Good. And you see, one of the things he now did is that me and you, we have a natural tendency to bring forth natures without being asked to. Man is programmed to bring forth. You will only bring forth what is inside of you. You only bring forth what you are yielding to. And that's why, whether you and I know it, you are bearing fruit. We are bearing fruit of a life that is being formed inside of us. You see, where the labor is for me and you is choosing what we are bringing forth. The labor now is choosing what you want to bring forth. For an instance, when somebody does something to me, I have a tendency to respond 100-fold with anger and bitterness. But at the same time, because there's another seed inside of me, I also have a tendency to respond in love. So the labor of being front is a serious warfare. Because you see, the soul of a man, my soul and your soul, is it. Our soul is a womb that naturally brings forward what is sown. You bring forth what has been sown. But there are things that have been sown in me and you. That's why, you know, they say this in marriage, that if a man wants peace, give your wife peace. If you want trouble, give your wife trouble. You will not have trouble alone. You will have a fire. It's true. Because the soul of a man is what? Earth, and brings forth. You see, the soul of a woman in a womb, na nurturer. You give a woman a sperm, she gives you a human being. So you give her small wala. Our fathers, you can bear witness. Have you seen a woman? Have you seen women say that this house, I will make it hot. And hot it will be. Honestly, your AC will be blowing like this. But you are sweating. And a woman, if you give her love, she'll give you Garden of Eden. Just give her a little love. You know what a woman wants is not too much. A man that knows that secret. Any man that knows that secret. Otimankan. And what a man wants too is not too much. But you see, my soul and you, the same way we have the tendency to bring forth things that are inside of us. Now, the real warfare is choosing what you choose to express. What nature are you bringing out? You know, are we waterproof? That water is coming, water is coming, water is coming, water is coming. And the only thing you can bring out is what? Nothing. But you see, nobody brings out nothing. You bring out what? Something. There's one video that I saw on somebody's status. He said the man was going and he saw a fence that was built in between. And then God was on one side and Satan was the other side. So Satan told him, follow me and I will do this. The Lord told him, follow me, I will do this. And then the man, thinking he was smart, he now sat on the fence. That I will not follow God. I will not follow what? Then the next thing, Satan laughed. He said, that fence, now me build them. Fence, now me put them there. So you have already chosen. Even indirectly. I'm saying that your soul brings out things by default. The labor me and you have is the labor to ensure that we are bearing fruit. Say bearing fruit. You see, bearing fruit is when you are able to engage what you are hearing. You say, by their fruit you shall do what? By their fruit you shall know them. That is the proof of what is inside of you is the fruits that you are bringing forth. You know, that parable was what informed our faith in God. That Mark 11 that we all quote. The parable of the fig tree was on. But if you read it in Matthew 21, it says, and in the morning I returned to the city, and Jesus did what? Hungered. Say hungered. You know, hungered is not that he was hungry. He had hunger. And when he did that, he saw a fig tree where? In the way. And he came there and found what? Where was that fig tree? Where are we? You are in the way and you only have leaves. Bible says he was hungered and he said he found nothing on it. I said, let no fruits. Because what Jesus was looking for was fruits. Oh, you see, if you not bear fruits, you are open to curse.
Because the next thing that came out of Jesus' mouth, he said Jesus answered him. Jesus was answering a fig tree. So there was a communication that was taking place there. Now, you know, there's a verse that said it was not yet the season. You see, heaven does not judge me and you based on our season. Heaven judges just based on what they have labored over us. Heaven judges just based on the expectation of what they have labored over you. Now, your season might be that this thing is happening to me. I am going through. I am being denied. But God's season is that I have labored. I have supplied seed. God's season is that how many years have you been in church? They've been pouring water on you. And yet we cannot see fruit of forgiveness in you. We still have to cajole you and psych you to forgive. Why are you not forgiving? What the sister did is very, very bad. He did me something. How come it's me? All those things are your season. When they say the Lord hungered, what God expects to see is fruit. You see, in the season of bearing nature, there are no excuses. You see, all those excuses you give yourself, why you are not changing? Why you are not changing? And that excuse is in the season where the Lord, and cannot yet tell Jesus that what he's looking for is not there because you are in the way. Because you are in the way. You see, this lesson, there's something he should do in us. There should be a burden in our hearts, a burden for change. You see, there are some things you have cajoled and you have sight and you have excused it away. You know, there's some nature. Why it tarried is because you always have an excuse for everything. Because people, in this season, Jesus hungered. And he goes to the tree to seek fruit. The Lord must definitely find fruit. And when they are talking about vine fruit, you see, some of us, there's one deceit we give ourselves. I'm changing. Vine fruit, if you can Google it, if they can show you the picture of vine fruit. Vine fruit, when they say a vine is fruiting, it's not one fruit, it's a cluster of fruit that they call a fruit of a vine. It's not one. It's not one grape. They won't see one grape, it's a cluster. They won't see one and say this thing is fruitful. They need to see a cluster. Say cluster. So you see, that one that you say, I'm going to try. I have tried now. You see, they are looking for a cluster. That's when you can say you are fruiting. Some of us, we are even saying multi-try. I have tried. I have changed. Because people, you and I, we thank God for our change. Oh, but you see, until we become like him, until we wake up in his likeness, we cannot stop. May God come to you and I and help us. And cocoon us and bring us to a place where we will stop excusing ourselves. That the Lord will come to our tree and find fruit indeed. That we will not give excuse of the season. We will not give excuse of every other thing. But why we are not fruiting? In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinwusinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.